My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Grace, peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Well, good day, everyone. You know what? You are absolutely unmistakably. Listen, I'm sure intentionally and always on purpose, you have tuned in to Love Your Make with Dr. Yeah, I mean, right? Listen, this is a Sage Code conversation. We're encouraging making every Sunday as a leader is a part of making high fun or not. So it could be a cup that is bitter, but it is what? Listen, I love coming to you as often as you do. You know what we do? We start almost with prayer. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you. For truly, this is the day. This is absolutely the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father, for this day for us and all that it for us. You have already taught you really go straight. You perfect those things that we are concerned about. You are full of mercy and you would not forsake the work of your hand in our lives. Truly, when we come on Love You're Making, we go back there and we allow you to lay your hands on us and shape us as you will, oh God, and we don't mind doing it. Thank you for each and every leader that is tuned in now. And Father Mike, this time so found, so infiltrating into their minds, bodies, that they will be found smack dab in the middle of your will. This is our request that we receive more of you and your making so that we might lead with love. Now, Father, we just releasing to the Holy Spirit, the one who leads us and guides us through all. And we're so grateful for leading. In Jesus' praise, you. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, if you just tune in, this is Dr. V. I'm your lead, behind the leader of this show. This show is all leaders, sacred cup, and desire to help in the will and the way. Listen, our lesson chapter, whatever version of Bible you use, and we're going to delve in it. Our main topic today is waiting. A leader in waiting. You are that leader. You just might be that leader. And if you are, we want to talk about the value, the glory, power, safe waiting, and more healing you find, duration you find in waiting on the Lord. Psalmist says, I waited for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate out of the bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my step. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and their trust. Verse 4, happy are those who make the Lord their trust. Do not be proud to those who go astray at false. You have multiplied, O Lord, your wonder and your thoughts, none were I to proclaim and tell of them. They will be more sacrifice and offer desire, but you've given me an open ear. Burnt offering and offering you have not required. Then I said, hear my, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight your law. Verse 9, I have the glad news of deliverance. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know. I have not hid saving within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great. Verse 11, not without your mercy, or well, withhold rather your mercy from my God. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness say forever. Verse 12, for evil has in me about my knees have overtaken, so I can feel more than the head. And be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let all those who put to shame and confusion natural, let those be turned back and brought dishonor hurt. Let those be who say to me, aha, aha, be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say content. Great is the Lord. Verse 17, last verse. As for me, I am but the Lord thought for me. You are my and my deliverer, do not delay, my God. I love this prayer. Don't you love this prayer? All 17 verses. I believe you find yourself in there somewhere. I know I did. I know I did. Listen, when we're dealing with love, when we reach 40, that we're not left to do it all on our own, that we're not left to our own devices, that we're not left just totally pray to them, that we are not left waiting for nothing, that this says right off the bat, right from the very, David says, I waited for the Lord. And guess what the Lord did? He inclined, heard, and then not only did he hear, he was just listening, not for listening's sake, but he did something. He moved on my behalf. He drew me up. Hey, Caleb, from the desolate pit, out of the miry clay, he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Let's just pause right there, because during this global pandemic, I don't know about you, but you have to get, listen, when I get up out of bed in the morning, I put one foot on the floor, then the other one. Then I kind of hold on to the window's ledge and I kind of steady myself and I kind of straighten up a little bit. And I kind of put one foot softly in front of the other, holding on to the sill. Because guess what? My fragile body at the age of 67, let me tell you, moving first thing in the morning is a prayer point. It's a moment to where you say, Lord, help. Listen, my feet need to be secure when I hit the floor, just to get up and go from my bedroom to the bathroom. Guess what? I need my gait steady. And can you imagine when you get out of the, when you go to the ministry or your business or into the marketplace, somehow on your jobs, wherever you might go, you need every step to be a secure and steady step. Listen, least you fall. Least you fall with your voice, because sometimes we do. We get up in the morning, we say the wrong thing, right? Or we go through the day and we speak differently than we ought to. Our lips, our voice is not, our words are not seasoned with salt. Come on, I'm talking about making yourself secure. It has a lot to do with what you say out of your mouth. Come on, leaders. Listen, it has a whole lot to do with what comes up out of your mouth. And so David here was asking the Lord as he waited patiently for the Lord to do. Listen, David needed something to happen that he could not do for himself. Yes, he had lots of attributes about being courageous, and David was a great warrior, and David was a great psalmist, and David, in himself, he did whatever he thought he was big and bad enough to do. But here he is, waiting for the Lord, hallelujah, to secure his steps. And in this global pandemic, we need not only our steps to be secure, and what we say out of our mouth to be saved and sacred and seasoned, but we also need, come on, we need to be protected. David said when he gets on down to the psalm, you remember, he said, listen, I'm surrounded by people who want to take my life. I'm surrounded by situations and circumstances, COVID-19, everywhere I might go. You don't know when I'm going to run into it. It is an invisible, in a to the naked eye kind of killer. You can be exposed and not going to be exposed from your front door to your car. You can be exposed down the highway, in the byways. You can be exposed at work. You can be exposed at church. You can be exposed in the marketplace. That's a silent killer. that is surrounding you. When do we need the Lord? We need him now, right? Yes, we need him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. But that David really started out making, which I believe that he made a big case. He waited. Sometimes we can get impatient with the process, growing, touring, and our lead, and we can get in with those around us to help us to get there, right? Even ourselves, right? And we can also sometimes get impatient with waiting on the Lord. God, when are you gonna move? When are you gonna shut this virus down? When can I open up my church? When can I start my business again? When can I get, you know, see my family? My family. Can I tell you how many lives were lost being patient with seeing their families again as they took risks, took chance, and went to see? And what the results of that is, they exposed more people, even their own family, to what didn't have to be so wide because they did not wait patient. Sometimes we don't wait patiently for the growth of. Let me tell you. 47 years ago, in my first 3 months, it was kind of sort of okay. I was having a few cravings here and there, and I was enjoying being pampered and loved on, and, you know, whatever I felt like I wanted to eat, my husband, my friends, they got it for me. That's the first trimester. Listen, the fourth through the sixth month, when I was like, oh my God, my body is changing, and this baby is getting heavy, and what happened to my shape? I can't see my feet anymore. You know what? My diet has changed. All kinds of things happening. I'm beginning by the 6 months to say, ooh, well, how long, Lord? When is the eighth, ninth month gonna get here? I'm ready to have this baby. It's not fun. When a child has been just inside of you, it has a maturation timing that God that needed to have for everything to be developed. And I gave that example because sometimes as leaders, we can hardly wait for something to be developed. We want to build before we grow leadership. We want to build before there's money in the bank. We want to build before we build to handle buildings. Hey, and handle the growth. How about that? We built things before we were ready to maintain things. Can I give you another lesson on that? Listen, when you go ahead of God, you have babies, you have visions, have things are pop up before you're fully mature enough to maintain. I can talk to everybody on, including myself. Listen. I remember, go back again, 47 years ago when I had my baby, even though I helped my mama raise five kids, for the most part, she got them up to a particular place to where I could just kind of feed them. But listen, when those babies was crying, when my baby was crying all night long, was colicky, and I didn't know what to do, and I was walking the floor, I tell you, there were days where I'm going like, what did I get myself in? And there were a lot of things that my baby needed that I would call on the phone with mama, this is what, mama, the baby stopped eating. Mama, the baby got a rash. Mama, the baby won't stop crying. Mama, I don't know. You know, call it, get some help. Why? Because I had a clue. I wasn't ready for the process. I wasn't ready for the growth that was going to take place. Not only what happened on the inside of me, but once it arrived, what am I going to do with this? You know what? This baby don't sit down when I tell her to sit down. She don't stop crying when I tell her to stop crying. I don't know. So anyway, that's a good example. I want to just kind of see that. But the same thing, like in our marriage. Come on. I'm going to talk about that as leaders in our ministries, in the market, and even within ourselves. Sometimes we're not patient ourselves, waiting on God to mature us. And so we go ahead of God and we do things that we're prepared to define. Sometimes in our ministry, we put people in positions that are not ready. We didn't wait on the mature some things inside of them that's there. So tools that they needed, you know, in order to be an effective leader. Or you see them, they consistently, they may give you a few offerings and that kind of thing. They may show them, they talk, they say your sermon is so nice and I'm really blessed and blah, blah, blah. You begin to think, oh, this would be good to lead us. So you lay hands on them, but they are no wise and mature inwardly as they're going to be able to help you with the other baby. So you spend time mentoring, time encouraging, you spend time observing, spend time approving, and then you proclaim them a leader. When? After they've gone through something. You know, who need a novice is a dangerous person, male or female, to have leadership level, making decisions. They don't have a prayer life. They don't have a study life. Their moral, the things, how they handle their own business at home. Have you visited the home of anybody that you place in leadership? Have you seen how they handle house? Have you seen how children, their spouse? Have you observed these things? Because listen, it's good to put on a show at church, but what about at home? How's that going? Have you interviewed the wife or the husband? Have you interviewed the children? Interviewed Dr. Reed? Yeah, let me see. I want to know what you say. I want to know who your father is or who your mother is when they're not at church. Can you enlighten me on how, the atmosphere of the home? Who sets the atmosphere of the home? Who makes decisions in this home? If your children, if your spouse can't talk about that with not only confirmation, but appreciation. Come on now. The Proverbs 31 woman said her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband is boasting at the gate about her. Listen, when people observe you the most, they're better character witnesses than any love offering, any tithe, any three-piece suit, beautiful hat, glowing words. That's a bigger testimony is who sees you the most, who observes you the most. So you wait and you invest, and while you're waiting, you invest time with the maker on praying for yourself and who you are getting ready to lay hands on as leaders, and you wait. What the Lord says about this, you wait for revelation, you wait for impartation, you wait for inspiration, you wait for innovation, you wait for correction. How do they handle correction? How did you handle correction? How are you handling correction? Come on, all of that. Waiting before bills, or waiting before you add on to, or waiting before the Lord moves. Let me tell you my own personal testimony. I want to share this with you because it's so absolutely amazing what God said. I was supposed to have surgery. They found in my regular annual mammogram after COVID, they found in the duct area of my breast, milk duct area, breast, they found some small cancer. Early detection, they wanted to cut it out and radiate around it to make sure they close all the doors. I have no problem with it. I even asked the doctor, what will happen if I do nothing? She says, I would advise you, then, doctor. So, okay, we scheduled the surgery. It's been about 3 weeks. But they did not tell me that I had needed to come to the clinic several days before my surgery to pre-op because some things needed to occur. And I'll tell you what needed. But they didn't. So I arrive on Monday at 8:45 in the morning, and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and waiting. They don't call me. I wait some more. Finally, I go up to the desk. My friends that are with me, just they're urging me to do so because the wait is so long. And so they begin to encourage me to go check it out. So I went, and first they said that my insurance company not the doctor to go ahead and do the surgery, that my case was in what they call review. In other words, the company doctor is saying, does she really need this surgery? That part. So that went on for a couple more hours. All of a sudden, it's almost 12 noon, and I've been 2.5 hours waiting. My friends, family members are getting a little, I haven't eaten since 6 o'clock the day before. They haven't. And so everybody's hungry. Everybody's frustrated because of the wait and that kind of thing. So we wait. So I go back up, and I'm concerned that the doctor who's supposed to do the surgery may find out that can no longer wait on the insurance company, whatever, and what are my options? And so they said, well, doctor, we'll schedule you for a later time. That's perfectly fine. The call is on you for a later date. But since you're here, why don't we go ahead and do your pre-op since you haven't done that? Okay. And so that when you come back on whenever day they schedule you, all you have to do is go straight on into the surgery. So we get around to the pre-op. And so they're drawing blood to make sure that my blood clots. They taking x-rays, they taking blood pressure. What else did they do? And the paperwork, the financials went well, this and that. And so while the lady was talking to me and taking my financial paperwork and dealing with that, she asked me a question. She says, what are you here for? And I told her it was breast cancer. Well, my organization has that will you 100 just to whatever they might be, and that might be helpful. Would you like that? I go, oh, certainly. I'll tell you why. Certainly that is, yes. I'm glad I waited for this. And she says, well, are you here with someone today? And I go, yes. Actually, one person that I'm here with is at the tail end of her breast cancer. She said, well, will she be here another month? Because I was in her while she was going through her cancer. She says, yes, I believe you will. She says, well, I'll put in $200. I've waited for 4 hours for $200. I haven't worked and made $200 in 4 hours. So I'm kind of excited about this. This is getting good. And then she began to give me things to read. And also she gave me this bottle of cleansing liquid. And she says, listen, you're to do this 5 times before you come into your service. I go, why do I need to do this? She says, we try the very best we can to get rid of all, but this is to protect you. The germs that are in the hospital and the germs that you might bring into the hospital that might be on your 5 times. I should have been able to wash myself with this liquid, including what I already use, to get me all disinfected for the surgery and for what they were going to do. And so I said, my God, God, thank you for allowing me to wait, because they skipped a very important part. I would have gone under that knife with all of this protection, thorough protection. They would have done a quickie, and I would have been open to all kinds of germs and staph infection. Listen, you go in the hospital now, right? I'm trying to tell you. So listen, this is going to be, I'm going to have to come back to you next week, you know, and finish this part about waiting. But just suffice to say, chew on my story about waiting. And when I waited on the Lord, guess what? When I accepted his timing without murmuring, did not have no understanding about it, I came out of that hospital room with $200. Hey, I came out of here there with some protection. Listen, God heard me. He heard my cry. He inclined my ears. He protected me and he gave me increase. Listen, this is how much I got love you. I love you. This has been Love You're Making with Dr. B. We're going to come on next 2 weeks with part two of Waiting the Lord. Saved in waiting. I love you dearly. I hope you love me back. But most of all, I hope God's love, because he what? Loves you. You're making.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.